We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us right now, the Super Bowl winning coach, of course, with the 2000 Ravens. And you also see him now on NFL Network, and that is Brian Billick. Coach, Joe and Evan in New York, how are you?
Good morning, or good afternoon now, I guess.
Yeah, Coach, I guess afternoon. Yeah.
Yeah, it depends where you are. Coach, right. Good to have you on. And you don't have to say Jets to make us happy, but what was the most stunning thing you saw from week one over the past few days?
Well, I mean, you got to put the Jets up there with Sam Darnold to start the game that way and to throw the interception on the road and to bounce back and do what he did. That clearly was pretty impressive. It's something you had to account for. The dogs like the Jets as well, you can tell. And I thought the Buccaneers win on the road at the Saints was noteworthy as well.
Coach, let me ask you about the Saints, because their defense actually was pretty good last year. You know, they came close, probably should have been in the NFC Championship game at the very least. Well, I mean, what happened? I mean, they were just shredded by Fitzpatrick on Sunday.
Yeah, and that, let's give credit to Tampa Bay that the fact that that they played that well. This is going to be interesting for Dirk Cutter, the head coach of the Bucs. And, you know, if Fitzpatrick, as we know, he can play like this.
Sure.
You go 16 games, you're going to get both good and bad Fitzpatrick. You're going to get the four touchdown games, and then you're going to get the four interception games. But if he can parlay this over the next couple of weeks, he's going to have an interesting dilemma. Do you really reinsert Jameis Winston? Or do you find it, well, you know what, we're going to ease him back in, because if they got something going, and because Fitzpatrick ran the kind of offense that you know Dirk Cutter wanted to have. They had balance, he had a lot of different receivers, hit a lot of big plays, didn't have any turnovers. This is the offense that Dirk Cutter envisioned, even with Jameis Winston. So, yeah, this is, and New Orleans, I think they're going to be okay, but, you know, you do, in the back of your mind, this has got to create a little bit of doubt about that defense that made huge strides last year.
You know, watch,
to give up this, at home, to give up this kind of productivity to Tampa, it's got to be concerning.
Oh, no question. It's also knocked a lot of people out of knockout pools all over the country. That's for sure. last night, watching the Raider game, I mean, they missed Khalil Mack, obviously. They traded their best player. They traded one of the best pass rushers in the league. A lot of the guys on the Raiders probably know John Gruden more as an announcer than they do as a coach, than as a guy who won a Super Bowl as a head coach. How do you think that situation can be handled, in which you basically tell your guys, hey, we're trying to win this year, but I just traded our best player for two lottery tickets down the road? Is that a tough sell to the guys in that room?
It is, because the players know what's going on. And that's it was interesting. The league as a whole, the seven new coaches all lost.
Yep. Right.
Which underlines the fact that you know, well, you got the job because it wasn't a very good team. So you can't belie that. And we talk about, you know, I always look for the tendencies to see where the teams pick up from. You know, like Minnesota. Minnesota was good last year defensively. They're going to be good again. So that bodes well. The Rams beat the Raiders. They were the leading scoring team in the league last year. And they picked up, okay, so it looks like they're going to be that again. So you look for revalidation in the first game to see, okay, our team's kind of what we thought they were. Doesn't mean a team can't flip the script, but the ones that were good for this reason, okay, they're good again for that reason. That makes sense. Well, the Raiders weren't very good defensively last year. So you look again, and yeah, they're probably not going to be real good defensively this year. Gruden being, you know, not, he's up on the game. Those that are saying, well, he's been away from the game. The games have maybe gotten away from him. He's been around it. He's been able to study it in a way that you don't get to when you're involved in a team. So this has nothing to do with John Gruden and whether he's still in touch with the game. It has to do with the fact that defense is still not very good. And that Derek Carr, who I really like, the game got out of hand quickly. He had to take some chances he really didn't want to take, and all of a sudden you got three interceptions.
Coach, what do you make of the Giants from the loss to the Jaguars on Sunday?
Well, let's begin with the fact that Jaguars are pretty darn good.
Yeah, no, okay, they definitely are, no doubt.
Yeah, so you can't be dismissive of that. In fact, I'm just doing a film right now on the Giants for my show Playbook, which is on the NFL Network on Wednesdays. Boy, the missed opportunities by the Giants. you know, the drop passes. You know, obviously OBJ had a huge, huge game, but whether it was Barkley, whether it was Ingram, whether it's Shepard, they had a couple drop passes in critical situations that could have led to big plays that clearly could have made a difference in the game. So the good thing with that is it's not a huge structural. It's just, guys, we can't drop passes.
Right.
Okay. We got to, you know, you got to catch the ball when it's thrown to you. And that in a game that ended up being 20-15, any one of which could have made a huge difference in the game.
Sure. Evan Ingram had a bunch, and obviously the muff punt. How long do you think it takes for guys to gel on an offensive line? Because that's one of the big questions about this football team. They made a lot of changes. They signed Nate Solder. They draft a left guard in Will Hernandez. They sign a right guard in Omame. They move Nate Solder. There's a new starting center. I mean, literally, there's changes everywhere. How long does it usually take in your mind for them to gel?
Well, that group more than any does take just that. And the great offensive lines have that sense, you know, offensive linemen are just that way by nature. And it's not just your starting five. It's got to be that sixth and seventh guy as well. So it does take a while. But this, I think this offensive line is going to be pretty good. Again, that was a pretty good Jacksonville group and they only got two sacks. And New York ran for better than 100 yards. Those are the two things. Can you run the ball? Can you protect the quarterback? So, you know, against a very, very good team, all in all, you know, I think they held up pretty good, and I think they'll continue to get better.
Talking to Coach Brian Billick, of course, of the NFL Network, the coach of the Super Bowl champion 2000 Baltimore Ravens. What about the Jaguars? I mean, I look at them, Coach, and I say, man, they got a championship-caliber defense. I don't see a championship-caliber offense in Jacksonville. How about that?
Well, that, you know, what we're saying is, okay, how good is Blake Bortles going to be? And if they continue to run the ball well, you know, they were actually, you know, they were only 4-13 on third down. That's going to be the way you judge them, because for Blake Bortles, you know, they're a team that should be in a lot of third and shorts, third and mediums, because the way they run the ball, play good defense. So, you know, if you don't turn the ball over, you're going to get some short fields. It really comes down to, can Blake Bortles perform on third and long? And that remains to be seen. He has the capability. They're going to be a good football team, but this is the way they're going to win. They're going to have a whole bunch of 20-15, 14-10, 17-10 type wins.
And they're going to be challenged this week as they play the Patriots. Yep. They do it at home. It's a rematch of the AFC Championship game. And this Patriot offensive line, at least for 1 week against the Texans, it held up pretty well. I mean, from what I was watching, it looked like they protected Tom Brady well. What are your early thoughts on the Patriot-Jaguar matchup coming up this Sunday?
Well, I think you have to go back to the championship game, which, let's remember, was a pretty good game. And yeah, I mean, it was one where they, you know, I'm talking about the offense now of Jacksonville, and they did a pretty good job, as good as you're going to do against Brady, in keeping him in check. You know, Gronkowski only had one reception in that championship game, so that's a big part of it, whether they can repeat that or not. And so can they. And also, it's worth remembering now that that game went down to the end, and at the end of the day, you know, with Tom Brady, you know, you get under 5 minutes and you give him the ball and let him go the length of the field, and all of a sudden now, you know, you're on the wrong end of it. This could be a good game. Yes, Blake Bortles, same way. You're not going to keep up with Tom Brady. That's not who they are. But if you can play the same type of game, limit Gronk, and get a little bit more productivity out of Bortles, then you should be a good game.
Coach, what'd you make of the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game? I mean, look, the Steelers did everything they could to give that game to the Browns, and the Browns still couldn't win the game. What's your overall thoughts on both of those teams, really?
Yeah, Steelers, and they're typical on the road. Ben's not as good. I think they'll come back and play well against Kansas City at home. Pittsburgh will be at home. Ben tends to be this way with or without Le'Veon Bell. I think what we saw was the extremes of the AFC North. You know, you got Baltimore and Cincinnati look pretty good in the middle. You thought Pittsburgh was going to be very good. You weren't sure about Cleveland. I think the extremes kind of came to the middle. And I think that's going to be a wide open division. Pittsburgh's certainly capable of being that dominant team. They've just got so much drama, and week to week, there's always just seems to be so much going on. Cleveland's going to be better. But at the end of the day, with an opportunity to win it and to be that signature win to say, okay, we are not the 1-31 team that we were coming in, and to not do it the way they did, it's kind of like, nah, yeah, you're pretty much staying that same 1-31 team. There's talent there. They just got to find some way to break out and get a win.
Talking to Coach Brian Billick, according to SeatGeek.com, the hottest ticket this weekend, and I get it, based on the rivalry of it, is the Vikings and the Green Bay Packers. Mm. Before we get to that, and Aaron Rodgers, tell us more about SeatGeek and what you're doing with them.
Yeah, whatever your ticket needs are, not just athletics, but whether you want to go to a concert or the theater, you go to SeatGeek.com. Get the SeatGeek app. I mean, you're an informed buyer. If you need tickets, it tells you what's available, what the price range is, what the trending is. Do I buy now? Do I buy later? Shows you where the seat is. Every transaction's guaranteed. Everything you need in terms of tickets, you got to go to SeatGeek.com, and you put in the promo code Billick, and you're going to get $20 back.
How about that Viking team? I mean, there's such huge expectations. They bring in Kirk Cousins. Their defense still looked outstanding. I mean, and Sheldon Richardson, our former guy, played really well in his debut with the Vikings. Give me some of your early thoughts on the Viking-Packer Week 2 matchup, assuming Rodgers plays, because that's always a possibility now after that injury from Sunday night.
Yeah, they're the real deal. Like I said, I always look for tendencies to carry over from last year. Minnesota was good last year. They're good again this year. That defense is pretty good, particularly in Minnesota. That's an awful tough place to play. That's a great game day experience in Minnesota. I was actually at that game. They were honoring the 98 team. And boy, what a great experience they've got going there. The fans, the stadium itself is gorgeous. And they're for real. That defense, Harrison Smith, is maybe the best safety in the National Football League. Kirk Cousins understands, I got a great defense. We can run the ball. I'm not going to turn it over. I'm going to be prudent, yet he still made plays down the field. I think the Vikings are going to be in great shape.
How about the Redskins? You know, they had an impressive win over, I don't know how good Arizona is, but, I mean, they had a pretty impressive win. I mean, it looks like Adrian Peterson maybe is a little rebirth for him. Alex Smith, their quarterback. What do you think of Washington right now, Coach?
I wins on the road to open the season are impressive to me. And for the Redskins to go in and just dominate the Cardinals the way they did. And just like you said, this could get interesting because Alex Smith was what he typically is. He was brilliant. He was efficient in a way that maybe they haven't had on a regular basis. Adrian Peterson running for almost 100 yards.
Yep.
That combination offensively, they've got to be excited about. I know Arizona may not be a very good team. We'll see. But Washington was one of those games, one of those wins that said, ooh, boy, okay, this is a little bit different, and we're going to see if they can sustain it. But to do it on the road in Arizona, you know, the East Coast to West Coast, that was, I thought it was very impressive.
How do you judge the Dolphins and Titans in a game in which it was so weird? I mean, I have two lightning delays that are both taking hours upon hours. I mean, that's got to be a tough game to coach and a tough game to play in when it basically takes 7 hours to get done.
Yeah, I don't know what you draw from that, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, obviously Miami was able to tough it out for Tennessee on the road. Mariota struggled a little bit, which has got them all panicky. This is hard to say on either both these teams. I don't know how you take a game and say, well, you can draw this conclusion from that because it was so unique.
Coach, how about the Cowboys? I didn't like what I saw against Carolina. What do you think about Dallas?
Well, what it comes down to is what we knew. You know, if they can run the ball, Dak Prescott, you ought to be in a lot of third and shorts, third and mediums because your ability to run the ball. Dak, what do you do on third down with obviously no Jason Witten, no Dez Bryant? They were 2 of 11 on third down. Yeah, this is going to be the challenge for Dallas. They've got to find some kind of rhythm. Dak's got to show he is that legitimate guy in those critical situations. Because playing good defense and running the ball, that's all well and good. But let's give Carolina credit. They did a great job all but at home. Cam Newton looks to have a certain rhythm under Norv Turner. They ran for 147 yards and led by Cam Newton, which I'm not sure you want to do a lot of that because that's problematic during the course of the season. Let's give Carolina credit, but Dallas, this could get critical for them.
Coach, we always appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Sounds
Thank
good.
You.
Coach Brian Billick, former Super Bowl winning coach of the Baltimore Ravens.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.